not so drastic to hurt. But turn down the volume on Dick and Bert. Fuck Dick and Bert! Fuck Dick and Bert! St. Paul admitting the law and life, and hitting rock bottom, drugs in the equine. Fuck Dick and Bert! Fuck Dick and Bert! Fuck Dick and Bird!
Fuck Dick and Bird!
Fuck!
Shit!
Hello and welcome to this special edition episode of... I don't know, I guess they're all special edition episodes because the twins just make so many goddamn moves these days. This is what we call Minnesota Foul Play-by-Play, where we provide colorful commentary on Minnesota Twins sports. And Mike chain smokes throughout the show. So we got the Brothers Haas with me today, Bradley and Michael. Bradley, how are you?
Not too bad.
Great, man. I'm telling you, that iPhone camera does you, makes you look like a goddamn superstar, babe.
Just a shitty way to end that Wild game, man. It was a good fought game, and just it pisses me off.
Yeah, so, well, okay, what can you do? I'm ready. East Coast is a rough. It's that road trip is rough. Mike, how are we?
Oh, just living the healthiest life I can live. Just had about 20 pizza rolls for dinner, having a smoke and a Busch Light.
Cheers, mate.
I give myself another 6 years tops.
Well, since you don't have a lot of time with us, let's get to the point. The Twins made another trade. They traded two relief pitching prospects for Gold Glove outfielder Michael A. Taylor of the Kansas City Royals. It looks like they've assembled the greatest defensive outfield ever assembled. Am I right here? I tried to do some research, but a lot of the advanced analytics, you try to talk about the Boston Red Sox from 1912 and shit like that. It's really hard to compare these guys, but it sure looks like it's the best defensive outfield ever assembled.
I'd say on paper, definitely. If they can all stay together.
If you look at the defensive run saved since 2020, Taylor's first with 36, Gallo's second with 32, Buxton is third, tied for third with 29. And if you remove Max Kepler from center field, he's got 30, which makes him alone in third. So yeah,
he's no slouch himself.
Yeah.
No, and we'll still have the best defensive outfield when we slot Buxton into pinch hit.
You mean a DH?
I mean DH. Yeah, not pinch hit. Jesus, sure. I'm losing my brain. No, this was one of the boringest trades I've ever read about, but
it got me surprisingly excited. Like, I exclaimed out loud in the middle of a public place that I was so excited about it, because I've heard of Michael A. Taylor. I knew he was a great defensive outfielder. And it, to me, sounded like Max Kepler's out the door, but that might not be the case at all now.
No, and like after we picked up Correa, consistently on this show, I've been kind of saying, I think we might keep Kepler around to try to build something. He's not a great hitter. He's got the potential to be.
But as a platoon player, he would be a damn good outfielder / first baseman.
No, and that's what I was just going to get into, and then I'll let Brad talk since we always cut him out of these baseball discussions. Is if you remember, if you rewind back to last year when we were leading the division and then things fell apart because of injuries and whatnot.
Yeah.
It just tanked in August and September. We've got so much damn depth now at the major league level. I think we're making a run for it. And I think with the defense we've got, we've still got some holes. Yes, I know people love Miranda, but it's not the greatest defensive third baseman. Same with Polanco at second. But that being said, with our outfield, that's going to help our pitching rotation out so much.
Oh, yeah.
I read an article.
Fucking balling apart.
Yeah, it's a novel way to attack what people are trying to do now in the game. It's just elevate the ball, get it in the air, and try for extra base hits as much as possible. Brad, you want to expand on that?
I mean, it's cool to see him making moves and stuff. I'm still not is jacked up on the pitching staff like you guys are, and, you know, with no shift this year, it will put our defense to the test, and maybe that's why they're getting this depth. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I like this move. Yeah, we go three deep at every goddamn position, but it's still pitching with me, man. Like, I'm worried about the pitching.
You think it's just they're going to hit too many home runs off us and it won't matter who's out there in the outfield?
I agree. I mean, you can't run into the stands and catch it. So
yeah, but at home we got a big ass outfield to play half of our games in. You know,
we do. We actually do. And you know, that leads me into to cut our thing. It leads me into a segment right now that I like to call Brad's Trivia.
Oh shit! Did you know it's back? Yes, I love this segment. It's my favorite.
Here we go. And this is strictly target field right now.
All right.
First one to answer this correctly without using the Google search. Who has the most home runs in target field history?
Oh, it's the guy from Toronto. Jose Bautista, Joey Bats.
I'm talking overall. Not an opposing player. Anybody.
Yeah, well, that's who I thought it was Jose Bautista.
Well, you're wrong on that one, too.
Josh Donaldson?
No. Wrong. No. I would say either Byron Buxton or more.
Can't be one of our own.
More no.
Can't be one of our own.
Yes, it could be. It
really?
Can be. Yes.
That's a good hint. Jim Thome.
Nope.
Polanco. Kepler.
Nope. We got to hurry, man. It's only a 30-minute segment.
Give us the answer, bro.
Miguel Sano.
Close.
Really?
This guy likes to go ice skating with us, Tony.
Oh, Brian Dozier?
With 80 of them, yeah.
Fuck.
Crazy. Huh? No way. Crazy. He hit one in the goddamn home run derby when we were there. Fucking one.
That is fucking ridiculous.
He's just reading the stats, man.
That's all I do. Okay, I got one more for you.
All right.
Who hit the first home run ever at Target Field?
Oh, Jason Kubel.
Boom! Nailed it! Sock it to me, baby!
Boom! I should go put on fucking Kubel's jersey.
I don't have one.
I do.
I know you do. Okay, so the pros. Okay. Go ahead, Brad.
Last one, since you started off with the opposing player, let's go. The opposing player that's hit the most home runs at Target Field.
I'd say Jose Bautista.
Close.
Josh Donaldson.
Nope.
I would go with a shortstop for the White Sox.
Not even close.
Goddamn.
Same division, though.
Jose Ramirez.
He plays catcher.
Oh, Perez.
Boom!
Old Salvi. That actually does make sense. That fucker can hit.
Okay, there we go. That's Brad's did
that
you know
concludes
for the day.
Brad's Trivia, aka Did You Know? I do like Did You Know as a that reminds me of this deal. As soon as you did that, I was like, oh, I know what you're talking about. All right. So the pros of this trade. We upgraded defensive outfield depth in center field, specifically behind Buxton, who struggles to play 90 games a year.
And off that as well, I think depth for our whole team.
Oh, easily.
Offensively.
Many players can play multiple positions now and kind of have to.
And like I texted you earlier today, I'm really happy that this gives Celestino a chance to go back down.
Agreed.
Actually become a better hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
too much time in the bigs last year just due to injuries, really.
No, yeah. And that's, I think that's what they're kind of doing this year is trying to avoid that.
How much they're going for it. Like, I mean, this actually looks like a playoff team to me now.
Well, hey,
it doesn't matter if we have injuries.
Reports have it that we're going after Yuli too.
I know. That's what I was just going to get to. But let's continue with the pros on this deal. Okay. So we're taking a pretty novel approach to taking away extra base hits, you know, with the best defensive outfield in the world. It's going to be really hard to hit.
No, that's a way to do it other than striking people out. I mean.
Yeah. And we've done both. We've increased our strikeouts with Pablo Lopez and we've increased our defensive takeaways on fly balls. Kepler becomes even more expendable or allows for a more productive version of him as a platoon player. So there's that. And then Michael A. Taylor is a fantastic base runner. Adds speed to a team that struggles running the bases. Somebody added a little statistic here. Somebody who added that? Is somebody want to say it?
I did.
All right,
He needs to pick up his swipe and bag stat. Last couple of years, he's kind of fallen off.
Back to that to happen with the rule change, right? With the pitchers limited to the number of times they can disengage the runner to two, right?
And bigger bases. And a game that's being sped up. I mean, time between pitches and everything should be easier for runners to actually gauge their approach to stealing.
Oh, he should have 30 steals this year, I think. Yeah.
The highest year he had was 2018 with 24, but I would
send him all the time.
I hope Rocco's a little more aggressive this year.
Yeah. Okay. The cons. We lost a pretty good relief pitching prospect in Evan Sisk. Like, that's not much of a loss to me, but he did have 76 Ks and 63 innings pitched with a 1.016 whip in AA and AAA last year. So he's a fast riser. But again, he's probably not going to be a starter. A relief pitching prospect.
No, and if you follow how this trade actually came about, initially we wanted Taylor. They wanted Josh Winder.
Okay.
And we said, no, we're not.
Isn't it Winder?
Winder, whatever. Who does have a great...
who can start, I think.
Got a great walk-up music, too, but we'll get to that in another segment.
Yeah, another episode.
But no, so we said no to that, and then we turned to this, which I'm very happy with this. I actually, like the other guy we lost, better than Evan Sisk.
All right, just I'll let you talk about him then.
Just Evan Sisk he's knocking on the door. We almost called him up last year, but he's had problems with control. He's walking too many people.
Right.
He's got a pretty decent fastball, but the guy who's got a great fastball but no control yet at all is that Steven Cruz, and his size is he's 6'7". He's just he looks commanding and dominant on the mound.
So you like the look of him?
I like the look, and he's got a way higher ceiling. He's like a lottery ticket, though. If he can figure out his fastball and then get his slider under control, he could be a damn good pitcher, but that's a freaking gamble. And this is a very smart trade for the Twins for what we gave up. We essentially gave up nothing to round out our team. Very happy with the front office again.
Brad, your opinion?
You know, the only thing I just can't condone, you know, and this is when we do these videos and whatnot with Mike smoking. When Levine was on, got a picture of him smoking a cigar after Carlos Correa signed with us. Like that
shit did that?
Can't happen. Kids look up to these guys. So now they're going to start
smoking. Oh my God.
Man, that's exactly what Joe Burrow did after winning the national championship at LSU. And he's the
No, I'm just kidding. I read some bullshit about that, how some parent was pissed off that now that they love the Twins, now they see this guy smoking a cigar, so his kid's going to go smoke a fucking cigar. Like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Anyway, that's just another tidbit that it's been burning a hole in my thing. Like, honestly, like, it's cool. I like to see when your team's doing something. They're being aggressive. That I
like to be in the news. I like Minneapolis just being in the news, like for good things. Exactly. You know, besides like killing innocent people, but you know.
And you know, and the thing is it's not blockbuster shit. It's stuff that's making our team better.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having way too much depth. Really, not
correct. The only thing we're lacking right now, and this pitching? Is tied into the trade before, I think pitching's debatable. It's do we want one ace or do we want fucking six twos and threes? It's like what's gonna make
we're not gonna
for
get
a better
one
year.
Ace, so I think we're getting what we can get.
So I mean, I think that's a wasted conversation.
I would like to I don't know. I feel like we should address the bullpen in the offseason rather than at the trade deadline, because that's the most expensive thing at the trade deadline. And
no, I I totally
but
agree.
But I feel like they're going to just move a couple starters to the bullpen, and they'll feel like they've already addressed it just by, you know, bringing in Pablo Lopez, getting Kenta Maeda back, getting Chafin, a healthy Maley.
Chafin's still out there if we want to sign somebody, too. I mean, I don't see what the hurt is.
DH open, Yuri Gurriel would fit that spot pretty well, and that would be something that would be really surprising.
You know what I was going to say, the only thing I see really our team on paper lacking right now after with the trade before is I'm really trying to struggle. Who do you put in the leadoff spot in our lineup without a rise? Bucks Polanco. Is not really – that's where I'm going towards.
Yeah.
It's Polanco probably.
Yeah. Because Buxton's too good of an RBI guy to put up there now. Although they did it with Brian Dozier for I don't know how long and I don't know why.
No, it's not an atypical lineup, you know, where you've got a speedy guy that gets on base. I mean, the whole Major League Baseball is kind of going away from that anyway. Yeah. I mean, it's all home run based. I mean, we'll see this year if teams decide to, you know, change that there isn't a shift, you know, maybe they go back to playing a more style of baseball that we grew up to, you know.
Yeah, more traditional.
Station and whatnot. It's going to be interesting. It really will.
It might be the most interesting year of baseball since when for you guys? Because it's been a long time that I've been interested in baseball. And these rule changes was the start of it all. Like, I really was intrigued by the pitch clock being ratified and the disengagement of the rubber rule is my favorite rule
in the history of baseball. Let's just all... I'll get us going into our next segment, the boys of summer, man. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, like that's right there, you know, followed up by Barry Bond. Like that was intriguing, you know, when the home run ball. Was...
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't real. It was surreal, but it wasn't real.
Fuck, it wasn't real, man.
I mean, it happened, real. But it wasn't real bodies. It was fake bodies.
Oh, fuck that.
All right, let's get into the next segment.
We're not using real balls anymore. You're using
let's talk about
balls.
A real body who's going into the Hall of Fame, and that's Scott Rolen.
Yeah.
Who makes what we call the joke of the Hall of Fame, and the fame is in quotes because I asked my dad if he knew who Scott Rolen was, and he said, "You mean the shortstop for the Phillies?" I was like, "No, he was the third base for Phillies and the Cardinals." Yeah, and he was thinking of Jimmy Rollins.
Oh,
Jimmy Rollins is more famous than Scott Rolen. But Scott Rolen had a higher OPS and OPS plus than Adrian Beltre, which is surprising as hell. But Adrian was severely better, like way better. I don't know if that means that Scott Rolen isn't a Hall of Famer, but. God, if we're letting Scott Rolen in, Jesus Christ, we got to let Barry Bonds in and choose Joe Jackson in and Pete Rose in. For Christ's sake, those guys are way more famous.
No, but what Brad
is better.
Up,
yeah, what, much
Brad
better.
Brad just brought up McGwire. And my thing is the last two rounds of this sleepy fucking Hall of Fame shit, like no offense to Fred McGriff, but.
It doesn't get people excited about the sport.
Or Scott Rolen. It's I just, yeah. I guess I want to know why Bonds, he's the best hitter in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
Justin Morneau, he's one of our guys. Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? He's like a Fred McGriff to me.
I would say he's a fringe. He would he's probably like a, not get in to me. But if Scott Rolen gets in, yeah, I think he does.
I mean, he never won. The Twins never won a title, but
doesn't seem to matter either, though. I mean,
no, and you put it I don't know which one's a bigger
Justin
travesty.
Morneau won multiple batting titles in Colorado after he left Minnesota.
Yes.
Like that. I mean, fuck. Scott Rolen was only All-Star 7 out of his 17 years. I bet Justin Morneau won a goddamn home run derby. Scored the winning run in an All-Star game. So let's look at all. Justin Morneau and see if he's a goddamn. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
He's not. He's Fred McGriff to me is not a Hall of Famer. These are
see,
good
I
guys.
I thought he was a fringe candidate too. I was just like, I just don't think that's a guy that.
Yeah, but this is my question then. If Fred McGriff gets in, Scott Rolen gets in, but then frickin' Don Mattingly doesn't get in. Like, there's a lot of. there's a lot of these I just don't understand. Mattingly was one of the best players of his generation, so.
Yeah, he was. Morneau was a four-time All-Star, but he finished higher in the MVP vote twice more than Roland did. He won it in 2006, right? And then he was the runner-up in 2008. And I don't think Scott Rolen ever finished higher than fourth in MVP voting.
I mean, if I was thinking about taking all the players throughout history and starting like a super franchise team on a fucking baseball team,
right?
And you put Scott Rolen next to fucking Pete Rose, I'm taking Pete Rose every time because
Put Pete Rose out of position at third base if I had to. Yes.
Pete Rose doesn't only deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. He might be a top 10 best player to ever play the fucking game.
He is. Yeah, he is.
No, and is Scott Rolen even a top 30?
No.
At third base?
At third base? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 70 WAR in his career. That's pretty good.
I mean, I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of third basemen out there.
But the fact that you got to think about it, is he better than the best third baseman for every franchise in baseball? That's a good question.
Yeah. How about you move to fucking pitching? You want to talk about WAR? Roger Clemens had a 168 over his career, and he'll never get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a fucking joke. I think
they should have their own goddamn wing. I mean, they should expand the place.
Put an entire wing
to the steroid era.
Put an asterisk by
the Gamblers. No, I mean, make the whole building a literal asterisk. Build an asterisk in the middle of Cooperstown.
Okay, well then, the Babe Ruth fucking Ty Cobb section, that's fucking whites only. No,
Ty Cobb can be moved right out there because that motherfucker was definitely deserving of an asterisk.
No, here's the thing, guys.
Best stories in the history of baseball.
If you want to put an asterisk next to it and not let these motherfuckers in the Hall of Fame, you should take away the World Series. You should take away their wins. You should take away everything they helped these teams do.
Yeah.
So let the fuckers in the Hall of Fame then. Like, what does it matter?
It doesn't. In fact, they're probably hurting. They're shooting themselves in the foot by not having them in there because nobody wants to fucking go to the Hall of Fame and read about Scott Rolen.
Yeah, that's gonna draw about 50 people this summer to fucking go.
They're lucky that he played so close to Cooperstown when he was in Philly for so long. But yeah, no.
Do you guys know where the National Hockey Museum's located at?
I would imagine it's in Canada.
Not even close, man.
Huh. Where?
It's in Minnesota, dude.
Really?
Fuck yeah. Whereabouts? I don't know. Some town.
So not in Minneapolis. Okay. Not nearby. Well, next time you guys come out, we got to go.
I know that. I can't believe you didn't know that.
Why would I know? I don't care. Like, I went to Cooperstown. Hey, let me tell you what the most interesting thing at Cooperstown is before we stop on this segment. It's Barry Bonds' 73rd home run ball is in Cooperstown. And they've cut an asterisk into the ball. Yeah. That was the coolest thing I saw when I was there.
That's pretty cool.
I saw the Kirby Puckett's bust, and I saw Barry Bonds' ball. And those were the two most interesting things I saw.
Have you been to the Negro Baseball Hall of Fame in KC?
No, I haven't. I'd love to go, though.
Yeah,
we'll have to go on our trip, right? We're going through. No, we're not. Detroit, Atlanta, Baltimore, right?
No, and fucking the three of us should go to fucking Cooperstown so we can get a picture next to fucking Scott Rowland's jersey. Just fucking make the fucking time of my life.
Yeah.
No.
That would be the first.
I had to pull the fucking dad, or your dad, when it was announced. I'm like, this is the only motherfucker in? I'm like, I'm trying to guess where he fucking played. And I did come up with Philly. I didn't have a fucking clue who he was, though.
Yeah.
Because why the fuck would I?
Oh, speaking of your dad, that fucking bean soup.
Yeah, he was asking about the container. He wanted to know if you'd finished that shit yet.
Fucking on point, man.
I know it is. Yeah. I'm a little pissed that you didn't fucking bring it to me, goddammit.
The long travel, it probably would have spoiled on the way.
No, it would have been fine. There's so much goddamn salt in that ham, baby. It would be fine for weeks.
Dude, it was good. It was good. Yeah, I'll get that Tupperware back to him.
All right, Brad, we're coming up on your specialty here. The Vikings interviewed Seattle's Sean Desai and requested an interview with Brian Flores for defensive coordinator, which excites the hell out of me. I've told you, both of you, that I'm back on board with the Vikings and off the lines bandwagon if they hire Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator.
Flores, definitely. I mean, that's the one that hit out of the ballpark, if you will.
But he's going to get the Cardinals.
Head coach. Dude, he's got head coaching jobs, man. Yeah. Another one to look at is the Jerod Mayo. He's the inside linebacker coach for New England.
Okay.
Another one to keep in mind. I mean, like I say, just anybody that's going to change up their game plan is going to fit in perfect. I mean, they're going to have a whole new scheme of players to work with. Like, I'd like to hire somebody right now in the next couple of weeks so they can start talking before the draft, before free agency, so they can get the players in that they want to coach. And, yeah, I mean,
I hope whoever they hire, part of their decision is being that last year's draft was for Ed Donatell.
Yeah.
That we kind of pick somebody that can use the assets we got last year, which we still haven't seen because of injuries. But
so, I mean, whatever. That's the thing. Like, right now, do we have to draft all defense, don't we?
I would imagine so, yeah.
Minus the first round. I mean, if some we're good balls. Let
both of our running backs go, it sounds that's what ESPN released today. It was like the starting running back next year isn't even on our roster. So
yeah, I read that shit too. Like, okay. Like, okay. They think that kid from Carolina is that good. Like, I mean,
I don't think it's a matter of good. I think it's a matter of that's where they can cut their salary the easiest is at that position. And it's the most replaceable position in football.
Defense is where we cut everybody. I mean, Harrison Smith.
Patrick Darius Smith wants to come back, and it might be out of raise the way he played last year.
It's arguable that he was the best player
on our defense, and I think he was top 15 at his position.
How much time we got left, Tony?
More than 10 minutes.
Holy shit. This is where in the segment we need to get like a little, I can push a button and it goes like, do-do-do-do.
We do need some sound effects. You're right.
Can you name me the first person to score a touchdown in United States Bank Stadium?
I've never heard it called United States Bank. That's funny.
Neither have I.
The first person to score in the new stadium.
Yep. It was kind of actually how it happened. It actually was a tribute to a very famous person from Minneapolis.
CJ Ham.
Nope. That was a dumb guess.
No, I don't have a guess. I don't even.
This would have been Aaron Rodgers.
He found. Oh, so we're talking the visiting team.
Greg Jennings.
The first touchdown.
Randy Moss.
First touchdown ever in U.S. Bank Stadium.
Randy Moss when he's playing for the Packers.
No.
Carol.
Aaron Rodgers threw a pass to Jordy Nelson.
Okay.
Do you know what Prince's full name is? Prince Rodgers Nelson.
Nelson Way, yeah.
What are the fucking odds? So do you know what that means? Do you know what that means?
That Prince is the greatest artist of all time?
Maybe.
He's right up there.
Guess where Aaron Rodgers is probably going to finish his career and win a Super Bowl?
Minnesota. He will throw the...
No, he's going... They're not trading him to anywhere but an AFC team. It's going to be New England. It's going to be Oakland, Tennessee.
Doesn't this kind of remember you of Brett Favre getting traded to the Jets and then released and signing with Minnesota?
Yeah, minus the dick pics. Sure.
Well, we're not there. Give him time. Give Rodgers time.
Yeah, it only takes a few months in New York to start sending dick pics. You're right. So the only thing more exciting than Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator for the Vikings is if Colin Kaepernick was our backup slash simultaneous slash starting quarterback, as far as I'm concerned. That would make me the most enthused Vikings fan in history. So,
dude,
they need 10-minute warning.
They need to start doing something, man. We got 1 year left with fucking Cousins, and then
what I read today, the people who got dropped today, I mean, they're practice squad people generally in backups, but Josh Rosen we dropped. So we've got no other quarterback on the roster Mullins, right now. Baby.
Nick Mullins.
Oh. And that instills faith and hope.
Best backup there ever was.
Actually, has Cousins ever went down with an injury?
No. That's what makes him so valuable. Is he
knock on wood?
The only game he's missed is for COVID-19 because he refused to get vaccinated. In like 6 fucking years, he hasn't missed a game except for one for COVID. Isn't that amazing? Every other quarterback gets hurt and misses an entire season or half a season. Kirk Cousins never misses a game.
And if you look at his fucking stats, man, like he doesn't get the glory, but he's like in the top 5 since like 2000.
Yeah, he's like outside that top tier of quarterbacks where Josh Allen now resides.
But if you look at his statistics, like he's right there.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. He's number 2.
He accumulates a lot of stats. It's nice to have what he has to work with also. Like he's been pretty blessed. Since he's moved to Minnesota, in Washington, he was fucking fighting for his life every day.
Well, I would say he wasn't blessed with the offensive line since he's had to live
never,
for a rebuild on
never
that.
Never had a good offensive line.
The fucker takes more hits than any other quarterback. Like, that's why
he
I'm
did
surprised
this last season, I think, yeah.
Why he's never been hurt. I mean, the
it's
fucker
amazing.
Stays in the pocket and
it's
takes
fucking
hits.
Shocking. Yeah, it really is. He's a tough motherfucker. I got to give it to
so
him.
I tell you.
This is exactly why I gave him 5 years when I found out that we signed him. I was like, you got 5 years to win a fucking Super Bowl for me, you motherfucker. Or I'm jumping shit. And I'm pretty sure
I gotta say, after watching this divisional round, man, like, I always want the Vikings to win, but I'm glad we didn't go play San Francisco.
Oh,
like,
my God. That would have
got
ugly,
fucking killed.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice in that game?
I told you they were fucking amazing.
But, dude, Dallas should have fucking won the game. What floored me was how hard Dallas was hitting in that game. Like, those hits were, like, they were hurting people, like, it seemed like. That was a good game, but fuck.
Dak Prescott threw the 2 picks. Sucks. Yeah. And no, that's the thing. And that game's moving so fast, it's got to be really hard to play that position, which is why it feels so good to have Kirk Cousins, because he typically doesn't make those plays in big moments. Like, if he's going to throw an interception, it's towards the end of the first half and it's not really a big problem. It might cost you 3 points, but yeah,
he's going to revert back to old safe Cousins and throw a little 3-yard pass when you need fucking 8 yards.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not a turnover. You know?
Well, it was.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got about 7 minutes left. So there's nothing left on the agenda since, we're going to have Tyler Culver on, the guy who makes our theme music. And we're going to talk the best walk-up songs in Major League Baseball and for the Twins specifically. So we'll let you know on social media when that's going to happen.
Did you see my joke on that one, Anthony, that I put on the OneDrive?
No, I didn't.
Read it right now and laugh.
I can't. I'm a little busy right now. I'm kind of hosting a show, Brad. I can't just
fucking
leave.
Okay, so I'll take over back for 2 seconds. Read okay. It's for Byron Buxton's walk-up song. So I got to give a big shout-out to Anthony. Like, he's got the best voice. Me and Mike just coming and do this bullshit just to have some fun. Like, Anthony runs the show here. This is it makes it fun for 30 minutes a day.
That is a good joke. We're gonna save it until this is what we call teasing the audience. This is a fantastic joke. I can't wait to share it with you when we do talk about walk-up music.
I thought that was your joke, Tony.
No,
I put that in, Brad.
I didn't notice it. I had the agenda up. I could have just looked, but I it was in parentheses.
I was sitting there, like, when I did this, like, I was like, oh, fuck, dude, I didn't know I could fucking edit this thing. Like, I'm going to edit this thing. And
you just found out you had editing capabilities.
Yeah. So I was like, dude, I'll just edit this thing real quick. And then when he's reading down the list, he's going to go fucking berserk. And I wish I could push a button and play that song. Because
yeah, we got to get maybe... you one of those. Hey, well, you can do it on your phone. Just download your basic sound effects app and it should play.
Maybe this is going to make it better then.
Or it could make it worse. And either way, it's going to be better.
It's good though, isn't it? It's good.
It is. It's good. You guys should join us for that segment because Tyler Culver, he's fucking hilarious and so
he's
gifted,
a rock and roll star too.
He really is. Yeah. So if you like our theme music and you like talking about walk up music or hearing about what we'd like to see as walk up music, join us for that episode. Should be happening.
Actually, I got to correct you, Tony. We don't actually see the walk up music. We hear it.
Thank you, Brad, for that correction. All right. Tomorrow's Wednesday, and you know what that means. AEW Dynamite. Kicking off the action is a three-way match between Toni Storm, Ruby Soho, and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Looks like a AEW Women's Championship Eliminator match as far as I'm concerned, and I expect... I mean, Ruby Soho is not going to win.
Who's a blonde chick? I just saw a blonde chick. She is gorgeous.
Toni Storm?
Yeah, I'm picking Toni Storm.
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah. That's...
Does she have a partner? Like a male partner?
I have no idea. I follow her on Instagram, but they don't really make that shit very clear.
No. In the wrestling, there's a blonde that actually has a partner with one of the other wrestlers. And they said that they were ripping.
Oh, a lot of them date each other because, I mean, what else are you going to do?
No, I'm talking about not in real life, like in the goddamn
wrestling partner.
Oh, you mean a tag team partner?
Yes.
Well, not shit, like you got to be more specific, man. Jesus. No, she doesn't have a regular tag team partner, but she's been in tag team matches lately. She's a former AEW champion. She got it bequeathed to her when Thunder Rosa got hurt. Yeah, the Acclaimed and the Guns are going to have family therapy. That should be hilarious. Two words, family therapy. Jungle Hook is going to reunite and face Ethan Page and Matt Hardy. Is Matt Hardy finally going to double cross Ethan Page? I doubt it, but it's not going to make any difference. They're going to lose anyways. The Ring of Honor six-man champion Brian Cage is going to take on Brian Danielson in another match. Danielson must win in order to challenge MJF for the AEW Heavyweight Championship.
Are they going to renew his contract?
It seems, I don't know. You mean talking about MJF?
No, Brian Cage.
I don't know. It's probably. It's.
You like how I fucking look at this shit? I got little tidbits.
I was just going to jump in on the next one. We got a real fucking superstar coming up here, man.
Chris
been around
Jericho,
the fucking block.
Sammy
Guevara,
Ricky Starks, Action Andretti. Will Starks and Andretti shut up JAS for good? I doubt it.
Fuck no. Fuck
yeah,
no.
I think
Chris Jericho said his
actually get the win in that one too.
Chris Jericho said that his loss to that whatever that name is that you just said was his best loss.
Action Andretti.
Yeah. He said it was probably one of the better.
Jericho gets a lot of my respect because he's a kingmaker. Like his losses are the best losses. And I mean, I'm a huge Orange Cassidy fan because of his feud with Chris Jericho. Like that three match feud was fantastic, even though it was ridiculous. But the best thing they did was an in-ring debate in which Orange Cassidy, the man who doesn't speak, wins a debate against Chris Jericho.
That's brilliant. One of the first things I ever watched, and it was interesting, and I was like...
Did you see Chris Jericho and MJF song and dance?
Yes, I did. Yeah. That's
the best thing that they've ever done.
That was actually epic to...
Really was. They won the New York Times even gave him an award for it. It was like the biggest event on TV. 1 minute warning. The main event. TNT World Champion Darby Allin faces Buddy Matthews. This should be about as violent as any other Darby Allin match, which is extraordinarily violent. So you'll want to tune into that one. I expect Darby Allin to win, even though Buddy Matthews is like 2.5 Darby Allins. Last words.
If you're not a Twins fan, go fuck yourself.
Be sure to join us for that episode. We talk about walk-up music with our the person who does our theme music, Tyler Culver. Thank you for joining us on Minnesota Foul Play-by-Play. Last words, Brad.
Get your money on the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's a good bet. Smart bet. To cover.
Everything to win the fucking Super Bowl.
To win it all. Yeah, you're right. All right, boys.
I wish I had Joe Burrow.
Thank God they have the salary cap in football, so the same teams can make it every fucking year.
Yeah. All right.
Joe Burrow.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.